Yeah. Yeah,
I've heard it said that Christianity is a bad hobby.
Yeah.
You're either all in or you're not. It's not something you do on the side. I do this. I'm a Christian on Sundays. Yeah. I'm a Christian right before dinner. I'm a Christian when I'm around my pastor.
Yeah.
Like, it's a terrible hobby.
Terrible.
Because it's like you said, you can't, you're either all in or you're not. You're not salt one day.
That's good.
I'm going to be sugar the next day. That's not how it tastes good together. Not,
you know? Yeah.
Sweet and sour.
That tastes
ain't
good.
No sweet and sours in it.
That's right.
That's good.
You're either all in or you're not.
You're either sweet or sour.
Welcome to the Forgotten Jesus Podcast. I'm your host, Adam French. I'm here with Pastor Robbie Gallaty and Candy Gallaty.
Yes, sir.
We are coming back into the mode here from Matthew chapter 5:10.
Yes.
We had dropped a lot of dimes last week.
Out of the Beatitudes.
Yep.
Where were we last week? Tell us a little update. What did we talk about?
Well, last week, one of my favorite things you said was the word is a mirror and a map. Mm-hmm. So it's a mirror to our heart, and then it's a roadmap for our life.
Yes.
Which, that's one of the things I wrote down. And,
that's good,
so they can
yeah.
go back and look at that and see where we're at now.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so Jesus finishes the Beatitudes, and now we move into another section before he gets into another section. So the Beatitudes are subdivided up. So you have the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount. You have the Beatitudes, then you have this section about salt and light and the law, and then you get into the section on you have heard it said to our ancestors. You have heard it said. We'll go through that. And next week is one of my favorite passages in all of the Sermon on the Mount. I did not come to abolish
the law
and the prophets.
Come on.
Yes, we'll see what that means. I'll just tell you a hint. You got to tune in next week. Most people misunderstand that verse, and you misunderstand the Sermon on the Mount completely. But I digress. Let's get into Matthew chapter 5. Candy, you're going to have to quote a lot today because we have a lot to cover, Ben.
Oh, wow.
So here we go. So, Candy, do you want to go from the beginning? Now, let's just do...
I can try.
Yeah, let's just do 13. We don't have time to...
So Matthew 5, 1 through 13?
No, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. That's all we have time for. Sorry, folks.
Oh, well, okay. So,
yeah, so you guys start in the middle, which makes it a little harder just to
this
start.
This has been, yes, I have not gone over this. Okay.
Yeah.
You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet.
Yes.
You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and places it under a basket, but rather sets it on a stand so that it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Look at Vivian.
Cha-ching.
Look at Vivian.
She's like, well, this is going to be hard for me, and then continues to do it 100%.
You know what's funny is
I have not gone over it.
That's very good. We don't do claps around here. We do snaps, right, Chris?
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I got one in church 2 weeks ago. Was that you, Chris, or somebody else? Yes. I even called him out.
Snapping. By the way, Chris, he's got some hidden gifts.
I know he does.
He does.
We thought that his wife was a musician, but apparently this guy can sing on stage.
Apparently.
That's right.
Yeah.
He can do it all. Chris, is there anything you can't do?
I love seeing Chris up there.
Do you have any? Can you tell us what you can't do?
Stand up.
Comedy?
Stand-up comedy? Okay.
I don't know. You're a pretty funny guy, though.
You're a pretty funny guy.
I'll take you on that one. I'll take you on that bit.
But you can sing, though. Who knew Chris has a music degree?
What?
Is that where you met
you
Emily?
Do?
Yes.
Emily and I met at Trevecca Nazarene University and did music degrees together.
For those who don't know, Chris's wife, Emily, is on The Voice right now.
Is that right?
Are you supposed to say that?
Yes, we're supposed to say that because
it's
out.
Thank goodness.
It's out, yeah. And you, the Deck of Hearts.
So now we know why you got a music degree.
Ooh.
That's right. She wouldn't marry me if I didn't have a good voice.
Exactly.
Just imagine how talented your kids are going to be, Chris.
Yes.
Fingers crossed. They're going to be short, though.
No, what's going to happen to your kids is going to be like mine. I wanted to play basketball my whole life. I coached them since they were five. They got out in eighth grade, and they never played again. I'm a total failure, too. So your kids, you're going to say, play guitar, sing. They're going to say, no, Dad, I want to play soccer. So anyway, or baseball, and you'll be sitting down for a while. But anyway, okay, moving on. What is this section about? I'm going to ask you, or the audience first, the studio audience, what is this section about? The first section is Jesus gave us attitudes to be in. Remember the Beatitudes. Those Beatitudes are an invitation and a challenge. Challenge you to be a certain way or respond a certain way, and an invitation to live in the kingdom this way. Okay. Now we move into this section. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. What is Jesus trying to communicate here in this section, if you would say this is what it's about, Candy, what would you say? This is what this section's about.
I would say how we live in the kingdom today.
Okay, that's what the whole thing's about. Right, there you go.
I'm right.
That is a good answer. But yes, that is what this whole Sermon on the Mount is about, how to live in the kingdom today. But what is this section particularly about? Adam French, let's go with Adam.
Just the one we just read? Just that section?
Yeah, just the salt and the light. What is Jesus trying to communicate with these two elements?
Yeah, I would, you know, I would think that we are the ones who are the moral standard. We're the ones that edify humanity. I always like to say when you say pass the salt. So if you like steak or you like meat or you like anything like that, it's okay if it's bland, but if you want to add some flavor to it. So for me, I've always read this passage as like, we live in a dark, evil world, a tasteless world, but we are what brings flavor. We expose with the light, and so I would say
you're dancing all around it. What's the word you're saying? What do those things do? What does salt do? What does light do?
We need help from the audience.
Help from the audience. Well, it's one
somebody
word.
Help me.
Give you one word.
Character.
Character. No, that's close.
Well, you said salt and light, so I thought taste and see.
Okay.
That the Lord is good.
Hey.
Wow. I never even made that.
That music major's coming in here now.
Whoa, I didn't make that connection.
Come on, now, here we go.
That's literally what that is.
That is.
Wow.
All right, let's start over. Wow. Do this.
Okay. Let's start over the whole episode again. Let me tell you what this is about.
Okay. Tell us.
And that's good. Okay, what is it about? One word starts with an I. One word. What does salt do? What does light do?
This section
is about.
Starts with an I.
Influence.
Ooh,
that's what this is
I
about.
Like it. Now, I like
this.
It.
Once I show you this, it's going to really unlock it.
I really like what he was talking about the salt, because now my mind is going to all the different kinds of salt there are. So, like, if you think about it, this could be so dumb. I'm sorry, but think about this.
I was not ready for that. Keep going.
Like, if you think about, and I mean, this might be so off, but you think about all the people in the world, like, all the different like Christians and stuff that God calls us to be salt, okay? And if you think about like, I love like smoked salt, like smoked salt. Like you put smoked salt on something or black truffle salt on something. Ooh, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Like you have all
Chocolate
these flavors of salt. What?
I like Himalayan salt.
The pink salt. Yeah.
Well, that
pink
doesn't
Himalayan
really taste
salt.
Like so anything different.
Pink Himalayan.
Well, you are
smoked
saying...
Smoked salt tastes smoky.
Okay, I like where you're going. I love that idea. It's the exact opposite of what Jesus is saying. I probably figured out what you're saying. You're
I'm
talking
like, we're
about...
We're all different. Like, our flavors are a little different, but it's like how we...
But okay, let's take
how we're used is the same.
No, okay, I like what you're saying, but it's not what
it's
Jesus.
It's not what he's saying, but it's also like an added point to that.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's true.
It's exact opposite of what Jesus is saying. Okay, let's get back to what Jesus is saying, because what Jesus is saying is don't add anything to the salt. Because
flavor?
No, that's what I'm telling you.
Salt is the flavor, right?
Watch, dude. You're going to love it.
Jesus is the flavor.
I like what you're saying, but you gave us an idea to say what Jesus is not saying. Because what you're saying is smoked salt has an additive.
Which I've never heard that before.
Truffle salt. I've never had. Apparently, it happens in our house.
I didn't know there's smoked salt.
No, listen. You've got to get it. I've never heard that. It's so good. Okay. It's like, you know how like you have flaky sea salt?
Do you put the salt in like a smoker?
I mean, I don't know, but
I think
I'm telling
it's an additive.
It's
if it's what I, yeah, what it's basically what, it's like what I think this is, whether it's smoked or truffled or whatever, it's salt that is infused
garlic
with something
salt.
Else to make it taste. That is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is actually saying the opposite. Now, watch this. What I think Jesus is getting at here is, and I'm going to give you my cards up front. Jesus is asking the question in this section, what is salt good for? Watch this. What is light good for? And the last question is, what are
you good for?
You good for?
Ooh.
See where we're going here.
Okay.
Where we're going. Okay. So what he's saying is I'm just going to share right up front where we're going. Jesus is saying every single person listening has an influence in the world.
Okay.
Whether you want to influence or not, you are influencing. And it's not if you have an influence. You know, it's like our kid, my younger son, he's like, Dad, I don't think I'm elite. I'm like, son, you are 6'1" and a half, 6'2", as a freshman. You are a leader, whether you want to be or not. But nobody looks at me, and I'm telling you, like your son. No, son, they're watching you. They're watching what you say. Watch what you do. Whether you want to be an influencer or not, you're influencing one way or the other. And I would ask you before we start, are you leading people to the Lord influencing for the Lord, or are you being a hindrance to people coming to Christ and deterring them away from Christ? Because and you could do that whether, Brett, you're in middle school, you could do that whether you're Ryder and Rig in high school, or JoJo and Jeff, or even us as adults, okay? So that's what Jesus is getting at. At Long Hollow, we would say it this way. Are you being a force for
good?
Okay, so let's take it apart. You are the salt of the earth. Notice Jesus right away doesn't ask a question or even leave it up for debate. He makes a declarative statement, proves my point here. Jesus is saying, you are salt. Okay. The question is, what kind of flavor, what kind of residual effect, what kind of response, influence do you have? Now, before we explain this, let's go, and you've heard many sermons like this, and I'll go through it just for example's sake. You hear many sermons, I preach them. What is salt good for? So think about all of the way, and you could really make a case for the Bible being like this, but what is salt good for? What do you, we already said one of them. You use salt on steak.
Flavor. For flavor. The other one would be.
So what does flavor mean? You spice something up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Enhance it.
That's what a Christian should be.
Yeah, bring out the value in it.
Yeah, so think about a Christian. Christian spices things up. You really add flavor to something. Okay, what else do you do? Because you can connect these.
Preserve. It's a preservative.
It's a preservative. Why is that important? Not today, but back then.
Well, that's the only way they could keep meat, because if you kill a large animal, you couldn't eat it, consume it all at one time. You wanted to have it last for a long enough time to feed your family over time. It was survival, really.
Yeah. Ancient refrigerator, where you couldn't put it in a fridge or a freezer. Mm-hmm. You salt it, okay? So salt pure. That's what the Christian like does. Christian preserves. You know, we keep intact. We promote good morals and values. So that's what Christian, they preserve. Okay. What else does it do?
Salt. Doesn't it like cleanse? Can it be used as cleansing?
Yeah, it can be like a cleaner or for
you
can
a
wound.
Get a salt rub.
Or like
salt
you could
rub.
Do
yeah.
a,
so just now
for the
like
body.
If you have a sore throat, you can gargle with salt water.
Oh, that's right, if you have like a cake or sore.
That's true,
like that.
Okay. Let's ask the audience participation. Okay, Vivian, what else does salt do? What is salt used for? What do we miss?
My first thought was just the healing properties.
Mm-hmm. Healing, there you go. So healing, same way. Salt heals, okay?
That's what she was saying,
What
too.
Is another one? Ben, going with you.
Well, it can protect things, too. Protect things from aging. It's kind of like preserving them.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I didn't think about that one. Mr. Brett, you want to go with anything salt does? Brett, anything? Got a new person.
I don't know what else we got.
What about additive? I mean, is that the same thing as a flavor? It's an
so
additive.
Can salt. Look at this guy.
Come on. Oh, that's right.
Like
food,
an Epsom
salt.
Bath.
There we
like
go.
This guy.
Here we
he's
go.
On it. He's on it.
Here
Brett's
we go.
On.
But what is Epsom?
I don't know. Can you
it's
get
a type of salt.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's not, is it a flavor?
It's like truffle salt. No, anyway, no, I'm playing.
It's
I don't
a
know.
Different salt.
No, but okay, let me just give and cut to the chase.
I like this.
Salt purifies.
Oh, that's one.
Yeah,
okay.
There it is.
Salt was considered in the ancient world divine or pure. You're going to love this one.
Divine?
Salt was actually, they considered salt like, because it was white. It was a picture of divinity. It was crazy how the ancient world looked at it. Not in the Christian world, but the ancient world, remember? What about this one? Salt stings. If you put salt in a wound, it stings. It shocks. Salt also is used to create thirst. I love this one. As a Christian, you should be salty, creating
like,
thirst
good.
For
that's
the
good.
Lord. Yeah. The last, okay, and here's the last one. This is one you would never get because it's hard to think about, but salt was actually used as currency in the ancient world.
True.
People traded.
You bartered with it?
Yeah. You bartered with salt, but you're going to get to it in a minute. Salt was used in ancient times to make covenants with one another. So I would use salt and trade salt as a covenant, making a covenant. We'll get to that in a minute. But
never
the question is this. This is the question. Is that what Jesus has in mind? Because all those things you can extrapolate from the text. But the question is, what did Jesus have in mind when he asked the question or says the statement, you are the salt of the earth? Mm-hmm. If salt should lose its flavor or its taste, how can it be restored or brought back? So the question is, What is Jesus trying to communicate? And I think all of Jesus' questions here are rhetorical. What do I mean? He's asking a question that he wants the audience to answer with a resounding no. Okay, so let's look at him. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt should lose its taste, how can the salt be made salty again? And the resounding answer is what?
It can't
salt
lose
can't lose its taste.
Yeah.
And if it loses its taste, how can it? What he's saying is, you and I both know salt. One property of salt, by the way, I think it's sodium bicarbonate. Is that the technical term, Robert? I think that I'm not a scientist, but I think that's what it is. Robert? Sodium bicarbonate is salt.
Dr. Robert.
Sodium chloride. See, I missed that class.
Dr. Robert.
Robert. Yep. You know what?
What just happened?
Wait a minute. I was not prepared for that.
I was literally fixing to say detective candy.
Hit that one again,
Robert.
So hit that one again.
Whoa.
I have a question.
Oh, my God. I guarantee we could sell these for our audience, and they would buy.
Oh, my God.
Chris
goodness.
Clapp, did you get this clip or Robert? Robert got
Robert.
Dr. Robert.
Robert, if you're watching us on YouTube, Robert just added to our two-button collection.
There we go. Now we have to.
Because we have this one. That's mine. Adam's is the money shot. There you
Ching.
Go. And Candy has her own button now, which is. It's literally her voice.
So
I have a
put
question.
Up top, can you put that down? Like the rest of them. Come on.
The last shall be first. Go. No. Okay. Do you ever have a real question? Or is
I
that
really
a joke?
Do. No.
Here we go.
That's why
here
I saved
okay.
it. To
it's pertaining
right
to
moment.
Salt. I think it's a salt
yeah.
question.
We're
going to
need
okay.
some of these at our house.
So this is the question.
Okay. You already asked it.
Or kind of a statement and question. Salt. So it's impossible for salt to lose its flavor and its taste.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Much like it's impossible for us to like lose our salvation.
Ooh,
so
you,
is there a connection?
Here we go. Here we go. What'd you say? What was the question? I didn't hear the question.
That's a good question. Say it again.
What was it?
If salt, it's impossible for salt to lose its taste. Like that can't happen.
Right, 'cause you got salt
which
water
is fascinating
anything,
to me. Like even if it's old, it still retains its saltiness.
So, yeah. Yes.
So,
that's
but
how
it,
salt
and then
works.
Also like with our salvation. So like he's saying you're the salt of the earth, right?
Right.
You meaning you should always be this way.
Yes.
You can't lose your saltiness.
Yes.
Correct?
Right.
And so with our salvation, it's the same. Like once we're saved, we can't lose our salvation.
I see where
we
you're
can't
going.
Undo
that's
our salvation.
Yeah, that's interesting.
We always have it and therefore we should live accordingly.
Did now, that's a whole other doctrinal. If we get on that, we may not get back. But that is a good. No, yeah. I don't think that's what he's saying here. But I do think that's an interesting insight that, yeah, I mean, this I would have to explain a lot to explain what he's saying. Maybe we do this one day. If the audience wants us to do this, we could talk about why I'm convinced you cannot lose your salvation because you
that'd
can't
be
lose
maybe
something.
Maybe for the live, when we do the live recording.
Yeah,
we need. We ought to do questions. By the way, we have our live recording
that,
date.
December 13th or 17th.
December 17th. We're announcing right here.
Drive into 3031 Long Hollow Pike.
Yes.
What's the time we got? We got a time yet, Dr. Robert?
Six to eight. December 17th
17th.
Is a Wednesday. Wednesday night, so you can drop your kids off if you live in the surrounding area.
No
we're
kids will be
do
in school.
Lot.
It's Christmas time.
Oh,
come
it's
on.
Gonna be, it's an early
drop.
Christmas present.
Right.
We're going to have merch, Vivian.
What?
Yes.
Yes, we
we're
will.
We're going to have.
Come on.
We're going
to
have
salt. Just kidding.
We're gonna, no, we're going to have buttons apparently now. Robert's got them on order.
Yes.
But no, I would say this is a doctrine I've studied a lot because I've had a lot of friends who got caught up and really crippled by the doctrine of losing your salvation. The simple way to think of it is, if works are not a part of salvation on the front end, you cannot have works, bad works, as a part of losing your salvation on the back
Amen.
End.
That's
so the
good.
Same guys who are independent, or the guys who are passionate about this doctrine, will criticize, i.e., other religions who say you got to work on the front end to be saved. But at the same time, they turn a blind eye to the fact that you can do bad works on the back end. And my point is, either works are a part of your salvation or they're not.
Right.
And if I didn't work on the front end to earn something, I can't do something bad on the back end to lose it. Now, however, I can live in a such a way that runs the name of Christ through the mud. I can act in a certain way that brings, you know, shade on the name of Christ. Mm-hmm. But I can't lose something that I didn't earn to begin
right.
with. And so, so in a That's sense, good. You could say Candy's point is when you're made to be salt, you are salt. The question becomes, what kind of flavor, sting, preservative, purification do you have? That's Jesus's point here.
Yeah.
Here's what his point. Now you got to understand the context. When you go to the Dead Sea, which Vivian has been to the Dead Sea. Ben, have you been? No, maybe one day. Jeremy hadn't been either. When you go to the Dead Sea, Adam, we were supposed to go before October 8th, 7th happened. And then, you know. But when you go to the Dead Sea, we go into this water where basically you float in this water system because the salt content is so high. I think it's like, 30% content? Something high enough where if you drink, we tell everybody in the van, in the car, or in the bus, if you drink like a little bit of a shot glass, like a little bit, you'll die because it clogs up your arteries.
Really?
You cannot
really
drink this salt at all.
You can't put your head underneath.
No. We tell everybody, do not.
You're not even supposed to go forward.
If you go forward, you're in trouble because you can't get out the water. You start to.
The lifeguards have to like flip you over.
Yeah, there are lifeguards everywhere because if you go forward and get your head under, you're toast. Yeah, it's kind of dangerous. But anyway, so back then.
That makes you want to go.
Yeah. It sounds fun. Yeah. No, it's awesome, the feeling. And people travel.
Because you can flow, right? If you lay on your back, you float.
Now, some people travel from all. Now, that water, that salty water, is actually good, as we talked about, for the skin and healing properties. So people travel from all over the world. But the Dead Sea back then and today was contaminated with gypsum and other materials that were hazardous or repulsive to the taste. So back then, the way they got their salt is they extracted it from the water. They took the water, they let the water evaporate, and then you're left with the salt content. But the problem was that what would happen is they would have to filter out all of the bad things that made it taste repulsive. Most of the time they would do that, but every now and then you'd get a bad batch of salt. They blocked it and you bought it and brought it to your house. You get a bad batch of salt to your house and it was thrown out and trampled underfoot. Why? Not because the salt lost its taste, but the salt was contaminated with something that reduced its effectiveness or its flavor. Mm. So watch
That's
this.
Powerful.
What Jesus is saying here is not that salt can be, he's making a joke. He's like, you know, salt can't not be salty. That's what salt does. Mm-hmm. Salt salts. That's what it does.
Yes.
But what diminishes, you're going to see where I'm going. What diminishes the impact of salt is when it's contaminated with too many other things that reduces the effect of salt on the world. So if that's what happens to your batch of salt, Jesus says, you can't keep it. Why? Because the salt is hindered from doing what it was created to do. Coming close. That's your Christian life. Mm-hmm. It's not that you're, and you'll get to the light, it's easier to see with the light, but it's not that your light's not shining. Mm-hmm. It's that you have so many distractions in it that it has a weak signal that it makes no difference, no impact, right? Your salt's the same way. So I would say it's not that you're not making an influence, it's that your influence is diminished. It's contaminated by sin, contaminated by friends of the world, contaminated by guilt and pain, and all these things that are issues in your life that minimize your impact. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I've heard it said that Christianity is a bad hobby. You're either all in or you're not. It's not something you do on the side. I do this. I'm a Christian on Sundays. Yeah. I'm a Christian right before dinner. I'm a Christian when I'm around my pastor.
Yeah.
Like, it's a terrible hobby.
Terrible.
Because it's like you said, you're either all in or you're not. You're not salt one day.
That's good.
I'm going to be sugar the next day. That's not how it tastes good together.
Not,
Sweet and sour.
So, that tastes
ain't
good.
No sweet and sour in it.
That's right.
That's good.
You're either all in or
you're
not.
You're either sweet or sour. Ain't no in between. Yeah. What were you going to say, Kenny?
No, I was just going to say, I completely agree. I always feel like you can't flip a switch and be Christian. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. If
you either are a Christian, no matter what. It's not a switch that you turn on. And that's why I'm extremely passionate about the private life is where it's at.
Yeah.
And you can't live publicly if you're not living the same way privately.
Right.
And so it's not like, hey, I'm going out of the house today and going to church. So now I flip on a switch and I'm a Christian and I'm a godly person and I have great influence or whatever. No. If I'm not doing it in my house alone when nobody's watching, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm definitely not going to come outside of my house and be a hypocrite, you know? And I think we have to be very careful because, I mean, I feel like we can all, be hypocritical at times. And we can all, I mean, none of us are perfect, but our private life should be an overflow into our public life and ministry or influence or
not
whatever that is.
It's not a switch.
It's not, this is who you are all day, every day. It is a lifestyle. It's everything that you embody as a believer of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm like, I'm not going to fake it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, and it's like, you cannot lose the fact that you are salt, but the fact that you can be contaminated by whatever you're taking in visually or what you're hearing or what you're doing and participating in.
Yeah.
And it contaminates that influence and that witness, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's powerful to think about that.
That's so good. I think that's why we have to continue. That's what I love about you, Robbie, is we have to continue to be vulnerable and to normalize confession. Why do we hide?
So good.
Yeah. Just like the last couple of days, I've been texting a lot of people about praying for a situation that I have. And I was telling a young guy who came by my house that I've mentored before. I told him, and he was kind of taken back. I said, listen, man, I never want to hide or pretend, like, because I'm this far along down the road that I don't have struggles or the enemy isn't attacking me.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what I love. You're vulnerable. You're always talking about one of your famous phrases, I think, for our church that really shifted. I think it shifted the trajectory of our entire church was when you your sermon when you said it's okay not to be okay. And you were vulnerable during that sermon. Maybe we can put that in the notes. It's a powerful sermon. But I think we have to normalize confession in our Christian life. Yeah. No matter what stage you are, we have to say, hey, yeah, I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, but you know what? The enemy's been getting in my head about this, or I've been struggling with this. If we have to realize that's a part of being salt. We have to get those infirmities out sometimes. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I got some stuff mixed in here. It tastes crappy. Help me divide this up and throw out what I don't want.
Yeah, what's contaminating.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. And so the good thing, and what you're saying is, like Candy's saying, and I would say it this way, your interior life has to be strong enough to sustain the outer attacks upon you.
Right.
And the reason you're not living outwardly the way you want is because of your interior life. You're not walking with the Lord. You're not spending time in prayer. You're not meditating on the Word. You're not memorizing the Scriptures. And so you don't do
or
those.
Or what he said, confess sin.
Confessing sin.
Yeah. You know, we're trying to hide.
Or living in transparency and accountability and discipleship. That's why we do that as well. So all of those things build this interior life to sustain the outer attacks that are coming on your life. So here's the question I ask you. Let's do an audit of your own life if you're listening, if you're in here in the audience. Let's look at your life and let me ask you, are you salty? And if the answer is yes, to what degree? Think about this. Are you living a life of purity? Right? Mm-hmm. Are you seasoning the lives of those around you, those you serve with, those you work with, the ball field you watch games with, the parents around you?
Why'd you have to bring up the ball field?
Yeah, Candy had there's a sidebar here. Candy had to go, and I had to hear her confession, Vivian, for 2 days. We had to open
in
the
her
confession.
Defense, I will throw
Father Robbie. It's
I
been,
will throw
Father
all of us in there with her.
That's what you said. You
no,
walked
it was
the,
it
you
was
walked
bad,
in the bathroom.
I wasn't worried about anybody else but my own heart.
I was behind the bathroom door. She was on the other side. So Father Robbie, it's been 6 months from my last confession. My sins are okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Sister Candy.
No, it's been pretty much every week.
It was
at the
Candy
football
at the football game.
You know what? That's a good point too, because we feed off of each other.
No, we all
there.
No, we laugh. We laugh. The three of us were the loudest, and Candy and I were laughing. Like me, you, and Adam, we had to restrain
ourselves.
It
wasn't just us though. There were other people.
What was the excuse though? I was sick. I was on cough medicine.
You were on cough medicine, but the other day I was like, "Where's the cough medicine?"
Go to a football game where the where it's 11 against 15, because we've had three refs on this.
I think
but anyway,
16 flags to our one. But anyway,
four refs on this.
We
but
all
anyway,
confess.
We're not bitter. We're just saying.
Listen, and this is not even really a. This is like it's funny, haha, but no, it's not a joke.
It's hard.
Like,
it's hard to be
you
salt.
You know,
sometimes.
Like
you
when your
penance.
Heart.
You had to do a lot of penance because
when your heart is not right and you feel like,
Mary,
oh my gosh, I crossed the line or whatever, you know.
No, we felt bad about it afterward. No, we
it
didn't
was
do anything.
Just like, no, it was
bad.
Just like
but we,
I,
we
my
got
heart
worked
was
up. Yeah,
up.
We got worked up over it,
and I felt bad. Yeah,
we just reminded ourselves. Here's what we remember: whether we yell or not, we're learning because we have kids playing sports. We're, you know, I wouldn't raise.
Listen, it's hard.
Spotlight's on us. They're looking at us.
Yes,
they are.
And here's the thing. Here's what I've learned, Adam. If you're listening, you're a Christian. Everybody
knows
that.
Incognito.
This is what the Lord showed me: the temperature of the stands is in direct connection to the temperature of the pastor or Christians next to them.
That's right.
So here's what I mean. I was telling Candace, if we get riled up and we're the pastor, not even pastor, if you're a Christian, you're like, oh, he's a man of God.
Yeah.
If you get riled up, then it's free reign for them.
The line just got pushed back. Wait,
yes.
Hold on, is that the,
okay.
Is that the Christmas
here's what John,
like this
reminds me of a line John MacArthur said years ago. He said, what you maximize in righteousness, your people at church will minimize in righteousness. So if you say, I read my Bible every day, they'll do it one day and be okay. But watch this. What you minimize in unrighteousness, they will maximize of unrighteousness.
Boy,
meaning Robbie just lies a little. He just tells a couple little white lies. Mm. It's, you see what I'm saying? It's okay for me to lie. And so I just think that same rule of thumb works for us. Okay, so are you salty? Are you confessing sin like Candy? I'm playing. Are you seasoning the lives around you? If so, how? Are you creating a thirst for God with people? I would say it this way. Are you living a life that asks questions? Questions about the Lord? Questions about Christianity? Are you...
I'm not going to do it.
I'll give it to myself.
I was going to say, I have a question.
Are you preserving the gospel or are you watering it down? All those things are good. If you aren't doing that with your life... like salt, you are good for nothing. Remember the question we're asking, what are you good for? What is salt good for? What is light good? What are you good for? Okay.
So if your salt is contaminating, you're good for nothing.
If your salt is contaminating, you're good for nothing, or you're not as good as you could be. Number two, what is light good for? There's not a lot here, but what does light do? Candy. We've got to hurry up. We're already almost done, but light shines. That's a good one.
Like it guides, it gives you guys.
That's what
direction.
I shows you the way.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's what the Christian should do. You know, we're mapping a menu for people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It exposes danger.
I had that one too. It's warns. A warning.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Like a
red light.
Like a red light, or
that means stop.
Or train tracks.
Yeah, or a lighthouse. You know, because it shows you where
that's a good one.
Where the beach is, the rocks are.
Yes, don't come any closer.
Mm-hmm. Or okay. Like a flashlight when the power goes out. That happened to me the other day.
True.
Yeah, you can see the steps so you don't fall.
There like pitch black. You ever had that happen and you're home by yourself? I was home by myself.
Oh, really?
You got to know where the flashlights are. That is important.
You got to have batteries in those flashlights, too.
Yeah. Or candles. My candles. I use my candles.
A flashlight has no batteries. You never find it. But I do have a cell phone. I don't know about you. But
go ahead.
Okay. Robert?
Dr. Robert.
What do you want, Robert?
Check into light.
Oh, the check engine light. Yes, that means there's a problem.
Something's going on.
There's a warning. Okay, Jeremy.
The Krispy Kreme light.
Oh, yo, how did we forget that one? The Krispy Kreme light, hot and ready, baby.
Oh.
I mean, well, how could you forget that? Golly. And by the way, for Ryder's birthday, he wanted one thing. Not a birthday cake, not a cookie cake like me, by the way. That's my favorite.
He wanted
Krispy Kremes.
Really?
Him
that's
and
what
Reed.
He wanted. We put candles in Krispy Kreme donuts.
It's been a long time since I had a Krispy Kreme. It sounds delicious, though.
Very good, yeah.
Think the last about emotion one, light.
Emotion light, yeah. Light strobe lights create a mood. You know, okay, watch this. Here's the last one. A light is meant to be seen.
True.
That's what a light is. Okay. The world is a dark place, and believers, I think this is what Jesus is saying, you are the beacons of light to a dark world, to those around you. Now let's put it in context, and then we'll show what Jesus is saying. Good. In the first century, they couldn't go to Home Goods to buy endless amount of lamps that populate my living room
in Mount Juliet
and bedroom. You know,
guess where Stella and Josie were yesterday?
Where
we are the light
Home
of the world.
Goods.
Oh, no, because they closed the one down. They had to go to Mount Juliet.
Yeah, I went to Mount Juliet.
Are you serious?
They were there yesterday.
Home Goods or Target. How many people here have the same problem of our house? We have lamps that are out of control, and then I'm left, Chris, to turn them on when it's bedtime.
I love my lamps.
Yeah, well. Well, we do have,
some of them on the
remote. We do have them something on a little clicker.
That explains when the light going out and you grabbing the flashlight.
Right.
Because you have so many lights.
Oh, it's just so many lights. I mean, our lights are right. Yeah, no, it's a big deal. But back then, they couldn't do that. So what they would do is this. They actually took a sauce bowl, think of it like a little bowl, and they filled it with oil. Okay, and then what they would do is they had this floating wick that would float in the middle of this oil lamp where it would pull the oil into the wick, and they would light the lamp. Now, one of the things you have to realize is they don't have Zippos or flaming, you know, what you call them?
Torch
lighters. Mm-hmm. They don't have any of that. They don't have flashlights. So they have to get this lamp lit with this little candle wick lit. Takes a while to do that. Once you get the wick lit and it's floating inside of this bowl of oil, okay,
right.
What is the last thing you want to do with that light, especially when it's nighttime?
Put it out.
You don't want the light to go out.
So
what? Now, what does Jesus say? Let's go back to what Jesus says. In the same way, you are the light of the world. Quote what he says.
You're the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden.
Watch this.
No one lights a lamp and places it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand so that it gives light to all who are in the house.
So what Jesus is saying is when you light a light, the last thing you want to do is what?
Hide it.
The last thing you want to do is cover it up. Number one is if you cover it up, what happens to it?
It goes out.
Oxygen, yeah. So Jesus says, you are that light. So the question becomes, what happens? What is the purpose of light? The purpose of light is to reflect the light of Christ to the world. We're not the light.
Right.
We reflect the light, right? We're a reflection of light. I think you can think of it this way. The moon is a picture of the Christian because a moon in and of itself has no light. It has no power. It has no illumination. But what causes the moon to light? You ever seen like a bright moon and it's really bright outside? How is that possible? Because the moon is reflective of the surface of the sun. Mm. And in the same way, as the moon reflects the sun, S-U-N, the Christian reflects the sun, S-O-N. So what hinders light in our life? What hinders the light from shining? We cover it. We minimize it. We justify it. We rationalize that you're, oh, I'm a Christian, but, or, yeah, I'm not really, I'm not passionate about that. Or, yeah, I'm not really, we minimize. We don't shine bright. So I would say, as you audit your life, ask the question, are you reflecting the light of Christ to those around you? Let me ask you, are you warning people around you of imminent danger from sin that they're in? That's what light does. Are you hiding your light or are you shining your light? If so, your light, if you're not doing these things, your light is good for nothing. Okay? That's the second thing I think he's getting across. He's showing functionality. Yeah. And then the last thing he says, he makes it personal, which is always what Jesus does. This is what salt's good for. This is what light's good for. The question is, what are you good for? And here's where he gets. In the same way, let your what?
Light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Okay. Well, we know every person, every human being created was created by God divinely, uniquely skilled and gifted with talents, abilities, hobbies to be used for one thing. What? His glory.
Right.
Right.
Shine his glory.
And here's a big misunderstanding in churches. We always tell people, hey, we want you to serve based on the gift and talents and the abilities you have. And oh, by the way, we need help in the kids department only. And then they resign you to watching babies or they resign you to opening doors, which is fine and dandy. We love that. We need that. But I think and by the way, if you're at Long Hollow, we need help there. But anyway. God has gifted you, Adam, with certain passions and skill sets that he wants you to use for his glory. For example, Brett is into robotics. He's got a mind that, Jeremy's son, he's got a mind that can think and create and program. That's what he's passionate about. The worst thing he can do is to go out and say, I want to go help soccer players get better at soccer for the glory of God. Now, he may like soccer. I'm just making this up. Mm-hmm. But that's probably not his passion. His passion is guys who can think and create and program. Well, why would God not get you to use your passion for him in that realm?
That's good.
We're
right,
passionate about disc
passion,
golf.
Yeah.
Why would God not? Yeah, he doesn't say, what's that?
Go ahead.
Why did you look
you
at
said,
us that way?
I'm like, you're passionate about disc golf. And I'm like, okay. I love it, honey. Keep going.
We love disc golf.
No shots at disc golf.
If you don't like disc golf,
do.
Something is wrong with
it's
you.
It's the light of.
If you're still playing regular golf and not disc golf, listen to me.
Shine the light on the disc golf course.
Regular golf,
no
$50+ a time. You're going for four and a half, 5 hours. Every time I got
you're
home
angry.
From golf, I got
that's
mad.
True.
My back hurt. I went to the chiropractor. Candy
and now
asked
you
me
are
one,
loving life.
Candy asked me one time after regular golf, she said, why do you play? I said, it's my day off. I want to go play. And she said, yeah, but every time you go home, you come home mad. Yeah. You are going out paying to be mad. I was like that doesn't make any sense.
Voice
she said,
reason.
No, it doesn't. So
do
I
you know any
up.
Churches that have keep a up. Golf course?
I
don't know of any.
No, but
I know
was,
of several that have disc golf
hello,
courses.
Hello, it's the Christian.
Very true.
It's the Christian sport. Okay, do you love to play Fortnite or video games or Gorilla Tag or Roblox? Weave the gospel into the things
love
you love.
It. That's good.
Do you love to fish? Then use that as an opportunity to share the gospel. If you like regular golf, use it as an. If you're a barber or a hairstylist, use the 45 minutes. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So look at opportunities to let your light shine through your good works before God and make sure people are glorifying God because of you. And so I heard someone say this years ago, the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home.
That's good.
Right?
Wow.
A lot of people are quick to get on a plane and go do ministry overseas and yet neglect. They're passionate about taking a plane to the nations, but they neglect to walk across the street to their neighbors. I'll go, man, I'll take a photo op and Paris, and we'll go to England, we'll go to Kazakhstan with the gospel. How many of your neighbors know why you believe what? Well, none of them. Well, why don't we start there? Because the light that shines the brightest shines the furthest at home. And I think the problem there is we've created this dichotomy between the secular and the sacred, right? Like you said earlier, it's like I'm a Christian on Sunday. So I put my church clothes on, I come to church, I sing some songs, I amen at the sermon, I might jot down a note or two on my notebook or phone, and then I take my bulletin as I leave, and we don't do bulletins here, but if you did, and I crumble up my Christian life, the bulletin is an epitome of my Christian life, I crumble up the bulletin, and I throw it in the garbage, and I'll see it next week, because I'm done with Christianity for another week until Sunday morning.
Yeah,
that's how most people live their life. And basically, that is unbiblical, and that is unscriptural. Why? Because how you live outside of church is as important as how you live inside your church. By the way, we said this earlier, the number one factor for a pastor's kids turning away from the church, one of the main reasons is, I told this before, they said dad acted, or you say mom's in ministry, mom or dad acted one way on Sunday and different the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Mom was caring, dad was compassionate and loving and listen. Oh man, oh yeah, you have a problem, I'll listen to you. But the moment I came home as a son and said, hey dad, you got a man? I'm busy, I got too busy. Okay.
Yeah.
Or dad was kind to, oh man, I'll pray for you at home. Get in your room and click. And they say, if that's Christianity, if that's Jesus, I don't want it.
And that's not, I'll be honest, that's not easy.
No, I know.
That's a hard thing.
No.
Like to be authentically yourself at all points of time. Do you know what I'm saying? We've had these conversations before.
Totally.
You know, because it's very easy to be compassionate and loving and long-suffering to people that live outside of your home. But when you're inside of your home, you know, to be loving and just as compassionate and just as long-suffering with people's, that's not always easy.
Yeah.
Right. Wouldn't you say?
Well, I think our expectations are different.
Yeah.
So our expectations of others.
True. That's a good point.
They always say expectations are premeditated resentments. So we don't put a lot of expectations on people that we don't know. So when our response to them is easier. We respond.
So true.
You know, just how a person.
That's good. The closer we get to each other, the higher we expect
our expectations.
From
them. Right. So we're in our mind, instead of listening to their heart and to their words, like with our kids or our family. We're already immediately like, if you start talking, my expectations are overtaking my ability to listen and to care and to respond.
So true.
As it is opposed to someone's difference.
That's
right?
Good, yeah.
And I think it's easier to perform than it is to have a consistent personal relationship with God. That's why the Sunday morning is so easy compared to the day-to-day, because I can show up for an hour and a half and perform. We do that for work. You know, we all have like these, we're a performance society.
Totally, totally.
So we show up and we perform, but to have that consistent step-by-step personal relationship. I was thinking about like this when you kept talking about the light, how, you know, when you're a kid, you're doing the science experiments.
Oh,
and you take the magnifying glass.
Oh, yeah.
And so that glass intensifies the light.
Mm.
It intensifies. It's a reflection that brings, you know, illumination higher, the heat higher, all that. But on the opposite of that is, if you come in between it, you can block it. There's only a couple things that blocks light, but one way you can get the light out is by blocking it.
Mm, that's good.
So I can block what the Holy Spirit is trying to use me to do, or I can intensify that, right? I'm saying, hey, let me expose what God, let me share this with the whole world. And I think that's kind of that crust of where we can show up and perform, and we can block, and everything's good, everything's okay, or we can be vulnerable, we can be honest and say, man, I'm trying to, this is where I truly am, this is my true walk.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even make sense to the culture. So you're saying, wait, if I'm honest about how much I struggle, that's more impactful than me pretending that I've got everything under control. Yeah. We're saying yes.
Yes.
Because as you said, Jesus always does what? He brings it to the heart.
Yes.
It's personal. He doesn't care about your performance.
No.
He cares about you. He knows every hair on your head.
Yeah, that's good. So anyway. No, I think that's good. And I think light is a picture of life, right? So the way you live, this is your life before people. Bill Stafford was a old evangelistic revival preacher back in the day. He lived in Chattanooga. We were friends with him at Brainerd before he passed. But he used to say, your talk and your walk talk, but your walk talks louder than your talks. That's a good line. Your talk talks and your walk walks, But your talk talks a lot. Your walk talks louder than your talk talks.
Woo!
Yeah, that's a good line.
That's a good shirt
and,
right there.
And basically, Jesus is saying the same thing.
Yep.
Whether you that's want exactly to. It. He's not saying, please be salty. Please right. be light.
That's right.
You would think he would say that, but he's not saying that. He's saying, you are salt.
Yeah.
To what degree, to what intensity, to what effect are you having in the world? How bright are you? You're shining. Some of you are weak. Some of you are barely on. Is that light on? And some of you are like, wow, spotlight. We know people like that. We get around it like, wow, this guy's a spotlight for Jesus, okay? I want to finish with this. This is interesting. Works are a part of the Christian life. And I said this not long ago in a sermon, but our works do not, or obviously you know this, but your works do not earn your salvation. Your works do not validate your salvation, but you work from your salvation. And I talked about how we don't work to be saved, but then what does work do? Works are a part. Works don't get you to heaven. Works determine how you live when you're in heaven. God uses our works as Christians to determine rewards and dominion and authority in heaven. So that's what works do. But did you know that God actually created uniquely designed works or good deeds for you and I to do before we ever came into the world? Now, this is hard to wrap your mind around, but Ephesians 2:10. Now, we know Ephesians 2:8, right? For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God or from God, not as a result of works. We know that, not as a result of works. Mm-hmm. But then Paul says, well, this is what works are for. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So God has a workshop, and we are his creation. We are his divine, you know, the divine product. We are his work. Read it for us, Adam. For we are his workmanship.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do.
Yes. Okay. Before I tell you what's going on here, did you know God one thing about God is God's a creative God, and God doesn't make mistakes.
Amen.
So there's nobody on planet Earth, oh, I was an accident, I was a mistake. No, God creates masterpieces. Now, has sin affected us? Yes. Does sin marred us? Yes, of course. But God creates masterpieces. And if that's the case, Adam, you can go home and turn to Josie when you get home and say, honey, I'm a work of art. And Josie would say to you, and Josie would say, you are certainly a work of art, my friend. There, and you could say,
she
Josie,
she's so
there's
sweet,
no
yeah.
one like me. She would. And she would say, yes.
She would say that. Yeah, you added that in. You knew that.
You're one of a kind. But, no, but the reality is like, you yeah, are yeah. one of a kind. If you're listening, there is no one on the earth like you.
That's
you
good.
Are uniquely, fearfully, yeah, wonderfully say that, made. Say that. There's
That's
no
good.
Exception. God doesn't make mistakes,
That's right?
Amen. Period. So here's the best gift you can give to the world, to be you. The greatest gift you can be as a pastor, as a minister, as a Christian man or woman, as a mother, as a businessman, as a security detail, as a life group curriculum writer, as a social media influence, whatever it is, as a salesman, is to be the best version of you. Now, to do that, you have to figure out who you are and why God created you. You know, the three questions in life that every human being wants to know an answer to. You know what they are. Every human being, take this to the bank. You know what the three questions are? Where did I come from or how am I here? Mm-hmm. Number two is, what is my purpose?
Yeah.
This is every question, whether you're a teenager or an adult. Everyone wants to know, how did I get here? Why am I here? And number three,
where am I going?
Where am I going? Just remember that. Every person fundamentally wants to know, whether they agree or not, those three answers. And so what we're trying to say is, God created you as his workmanship. Now watch this. That word workmanship, you're going to love this, is actually the Greek word poema, where we get the English word poem. And if that's the case, that means God is writing a story, a poem, with your life perfectly. But the cool thing is, he wrote the poem before you stepped foot on earth or came out of the womb.
Yeah.
And it's your job. This changes everything, because this is what the Christian life becomes. People who are not Christian, or people who don't know their creator, one, don't know where they came from, where they're going, but they don't know why they're here. So they wander their whole lives in silence or in darkness, and they don't know where they're going. So the Christian, we have an up, we have an inside track. Why? Because we know who created us, we know where we're going, and it's our job to figure out through gifts and talents through highs and lows, through setbacks and victories, through defeats and wins, we get to figure out how God uniquely created us to do the works that God created us to do. That's what we're doing. We're not trying to do our own works. We're trying to get in step with the will of God to do the work of God that God has for the people of God, for the glory of God.
That's good. Mm.
And there's only one you in the world. So now some of your parents are saying, thank God. You know, there's only mom and dad. But the point of life, I think, is this, to figure out why God created you and to live in that creation.
Amen.
I was just saying, you know what really drives home that point that there's only one you?
Mm.
Your fingerprints.
Mm,
because there, if you think about, and Jeremy can even add to this, if you think about, not one person on planet Earth has the same fingerprint.
Yes.
Not even twins.
Mm.
Twins have different fingerprints.
Is that true, Jeremy?
Every single person. Now you think about how many people we have in the world. I don't know. Anybody know?
7 billion.
Okay,
seven
a bunch.
And a half billion. From like
a
8 billion.
Bunch.
Okay. Right, 8 billion.
And not one of them of us share the same exact fingerprint.
Mm.
Do you think that magically happened? No, that was by perfect design by a perfect creator.
Oh, look at you!
Come on.
So every single person on the planet is extremely unique.
Yeah.
And that just proves it.
Yeah, that proves you.
It proves that God created you.
So what does Satan do? He wants to morph us into a certain movement or a certain sexuality or a certain
He wants to separate.
Yes.
He wants you to think, I'm unique, so I need to separate.
Yeah, I'm non-binary.
When God says you're unique, so you're a part of.
Right.
Yes,
you're
dude.
It's like a foot that says, I want to grasp things like the hand does.
Even the feminist movement, if you think about it, women can do everything. Well, yes, women can do a lot of things, but God created women equal in value. Value, different in function. God created Jews and Gentiles distinct, yet we're one in Christ. With the distinctness makes us unique, right?
Yes. Right.
So I would just finish with this. So basically what you're saying is the way we live, the way we act, the way we praise, the way we worship, the way we speak, the things we listen to, all is a way for our light to shine into the world. We shine our light. Here's the line I like to say is, you have to make sure if we're lights, that the light shining through you is brighter than the light shining on you.
That's right.
The light shining on you should not be brighter than the light shining through you, meaning God shining through you, drawing attention to him, should be more important or brighter or more luminous than the light shining on you, the spotlight. And think about it. Most people in the Christian life or in life in general that have failed or moral failure or financial, they got to a place where they thought the light shining, oh, it's all about me. Yeah. I mean, I'm a gift to society. I'm the one.
Yeah.
And they forget, no, the moment Jesus turns the light off, bro, you're done. And I don't have to name names. Just go find how many people are reading books from X guy who fell. Find how many people are watching sermons from X guy who fell.
Right.
They're not. And it's because they thought they were the light. And God says, no, you're just a moon. You're a conduit of light through you. I'll finish with this. Two things. People ate salt by itself or with bread as a sign of a covenant. Because the question I ask is, when I read this, is there a connection to the Old Testament? Vivian, you're going to love this. Salt is a picture of covenantal relationship. You find that in Leviticus 2:13. We won't go through it. Numbers 18:19, Chronicles 13:5, Ezra 4:14. It's all a picture of the covenant relationship with God. Salt is a picture of permanence. It's a picture, you're going to love this. It's a picture that God made a lasting covenant with his people in the Old Testament. When Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, he is saying the disciples of him will now be a sign to the world of God's covenant of uniting the world to Jesus. Salt is a covenant term for Matthew, even himself. So believers are God's way of showing the world that he cares about them and he hasn't forgotten them. That's what they would have heard. Number two, light connects to the Old Testament. Now, light is all through the Old Testament. Robert, you'll like this. Isaiah 42:6 is connected to Matthew 5:14. Isaiah 42:6 for time says this. Isaiah says, I am the Lord. He's talking before God. I have called you for a righteous purpose, and I will hold you by my hand. I will watch over you, and I will appoint you to be a covenant for the people, the salt, and a light to the nations. Watch this.
Wow.
God says in Isaiah, there's coming a time, prophetic, when you will be a salt or covenant to the people and a light to the nation. So God's plan from the beginning was that the people of God would be a covenant light shining to the nations. Mm. Isaiah 42 is also a picture of the old passing away and the new coming in him. And so the servant of God, Jesus, is liberating the nations and bringing justice and righteousness through his covenant people, his disciples. So that's praise what I think God. He's doing. It's salt and light together, signifying it's a new day, people. There's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Jesus. And it's no accident that the very next thing Jesus does, you ready? Is reestablish the covenant law by saying, you thought it meant this. Let me define and interpret. It actually means this.
Yeah, that's very next week. Part. Powerful. Powerful.
Go. We're done, Vivian. We're done. Powerful. I gave it to myself. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go and be salt and light. I mean, literally, what a powerful thing. You have an influence. You have an impact. I love how you drew that out, Pastor, of what are you thinking about? Think about your life, you know, as you're driving, as you're working out, listen to this. Think about where God is calling. That's a good prayer. God, where am I not being salt? Where am I not being
what's
light?
Contaminating what's contaminating my life right now?
Yeah, it's just a powerful
friends,
thing to ponder
people,
on.
Relationships.
It's so good. It's so good. So listen, if you're enjoying this content, please like, share, write a review. If you think to yourself, if you haven't written a review, please write a review. Help get this out. Share this with a friend. There may be a person right now that comes to your mind that you think, man, would really benefit from this. Would you text that to them? Would you share that to them? We want them to hear the word of God and learn about the Jewishness of Jesus Christ.